Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. Oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start. We are in Philippians 2, 12 through 18, and last time, the time went so fast, and oh my goodness, I think of the words that I wrote down, sanctification in us. We need to be students of God and His Word to allow His work in us. And what is hindering us? You know, and Tara gave a great analogy of we can hinder ourselves, but we can also hinder those around us.
I know, and you know, if somebody is oftentimes, like, I think with parents, if they're going to change something, it's because they want to do it for their children. And but honestly, ultimately what it comes down to, the reason why Paul is challenging the people of Philippi to change their attitude, to have their attitude of the mind of Christ, is that literally it's about our attitude being right with God. And if my attitude is right with God, then I'm going to be right with others, because I'm taking care of that which would be important to God. That's really what it comes back to. And so when I am recognizing, oh my goodness, I just tripped you up. I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I have things hindering me. He's challenging them to get rid of these things. I remove them. It's because I'm taking care of others, because God is taking care of me. And Christina has a really great quote from Guzik.
Care of souls, but care begins with our own soul. It is not about earning salvation. We must put forth a real effort into their Christian lives to see if evident in an area of life to activate salvation freely given by God.
Okay. That literally our care for the souls of the people that we are working with, it is that evidence of God at work in us. And as I was reading this, it's like, okay, you think of a leader. As circumstances unfold, it's one thing to be focused in on how will this affect me. But it's another thing, how's this going to affect those around me? And how can I care for those around me? That ultimately, if I have the mind of Christ, if I am thinking like Jesus, it's not going to be, what's this going to do to me? But what is it going to do to those around me? And as a leader in Christ, as the Dean of Women at Grace University, I am constantly having to go back and ask that question. Like, okay, forget it's going to have a consequence on me. I have people I am caring for. And if I am properly caring for their souls, and I am seeking to remove hindrances so that my soul care can be what it needs to be, it's always going to be about taking care of the people, the body of Christ, the community of Christ, because He built us to be in community. He never intended us to be alone. In fact, based on Scripture, isolation is dangerous. It is very dangerous. And it's in isolation that things happen. Despair, despondency, depression, darkness, just that is doubt. A lot of that is where it grows when somebody is in isolation. It doesn't happen when we're in community, when we're communicating, when we're working with one another, when we're talking, trying to deal with things. It happens when we are not in community and we're not communicating. And so this is why he's trying to get them. He's letting them know, okay, I may not have seen you for 10 years, but we're still part of the body of Christ. I still care about your soul. So this is why you need to be doing this. And that's the challenge he's giving them. The next quote we have, I'm going to have us read scripture because we haven't done the scripture yet. I'm just totally going into this and I hadn't even gotten into the word yet. let's do, Adam's going to read for us the Philippians 2, 12 through 18 to keep us back in track where we're at.
Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I do not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too shall be glad and rejoice with me.
That's so good. Thank you, Adam, for reading the word of God. Okay. We're talking about the working out of salvation. And I loved how, I think it was the last show, Christina had said that it's like, it makes you, you read it and you're like, huh? Like, what does that mean? And so we emphasized last time that it's not talking about our eternal salvation. It's talking about our process of sanctification, because he's talking to believers. And this passage is actually a part of what causes a massive debate amongst Christendom between Arminianism and Calvinism. And I'm not even going to go there because I'm not smart enough. Like, I just usually sit and spin, because as people argue, it's like, oh, I don't even know how to respond to that. But I read a really great quote by Robertson in commentary, and I'm going to have Adam read it to us. And so what he says, how Paul is kind of almost summing up these different debates.
He exhorts as if he were an Arminian addressing men. He prays as if he were a Calvinist addressing God, and feels no inconsistency in these two attitudes. Paul makes no attempt to reconcile divine sovereignty and human free agency, but boldly proclaims both.
Yeah. Okay, so the first show, if you have listened to all of them, 2 weeks ago, Sandy referenced the fact that we have to recognize that we have a human responsibility. But there's also the divine intervention of God at work in us, his transforming work because of Christ's presence in us. And so it is a yes, both is what he's implying here. Mm-hmm. So it is God at work in us because he is in us, but we still have the responsibility to work and understand and study and become a part of what he's been teaching us. It's just a beautiful.
You know, I was thinking about what Adam read, I think Guzik, mm-hmm. last time, and they talked about the best. I know I've always heard friends tell me it's always good to do a lot of good, but sometimes you're doing so many things that are good, but it's maybe not God's best mm-hmm. that you should be doing. And I have to really, because I like to serve and help, so I have to pull back the reins sometimes.
Yeah,
and
we
see
all
if that's
do.
From God.
We all know? Do. We have to. We just have to ask, because it's not... Mm-hmm. It's not the doing, it's having the right heart, it's having the right words, it's having and being in where we're in the will of God.
Right.
And I don't know if we'll get to it today, but one of the questions we do ask is, how do we get there? How do we know we're willing to his purpose? Mm. Spurgeon says, we can take comfort in that God who works in you, his grace is all sufficient, and it dwells in us as the believer. There is a living well within you that's springing up, that we need to use this bucket and keep on drawing from it, because it will never exhaust. It is a living source that we have within us. And so Spurgeon is saying we need to recognize that as Paul is challenging this, we are not left alone to handle this. We have this well. He's called the fountain of life, the river of life. There's many different examples in Scripture.
Living and, water.
Yeah, where the water is showing at work in us. Okay, so this brings us to the question of, why must working out our salvation be done with fear mm-hmm. and trembling? Why would he use these two words? Why do you think he means fear, and what does he mean with the word fear?
I think it goes back to, we're not being fearful of God, we're supposed to be in awe of God.
Okay.
You know, so we want to please God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The definition for fear is important for us to know. The actual definition, Sandy kind of summed it up with it. The definition, scripturally, whenever the word fear is used, it's to have reverence or awe. It is to be in, mm-hmm. oh, you are holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Or what it is in Isaiah 6, where he is confronted in the temple and he's like, oh, I'm a man of unclean mm-hmm. lips. You know, because he's in the presence of God, recognizing he's holy, I am not. And having that respect, having that awe, having that sense of, you are amazing and magnificent, and who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what he means by fear. And trembling, I found this quote by, I think it was Guzik that said it. The trembling isn't about just... because we're afraid, and so your body's shaking. You know how, like, when you get really scared, you kind of, like, quiver inside?
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, it's actually about an experience where you have so been in the presence of God that you literally have such holy awe that your body is shaking. Mm. That is what it's referencing. And one time in my life, I was leading a prayer event at our church, and I was praying and preparing in preparation for this event. And John Harrington was the Minister of Education at the time. And I was trying to explain to him, and he's like, oh, Tara. And he goes, it sounds like you had an epiphany. I had never like talked through that kind of thing before with somebody. But as I was praying over our church, I was praying into our church repentance. We were doing a solemn assembly of getting the people right with God and having them repent and draw into his presence. That literally, as I was praying for the church, I had such an awe before God that I actually experienced what I would call the holy tremble. And I literally wept. I don't know that I've ever told anybody that before, other than John Harrington, our pastor at the time for that department, what happened, because I had never experienced anything like it before. And there's something that happens where it almost becomes unspeakable. It's hard to even talk about because it's not tangible. It's just like something that God is revealing to you because you were seeing him in a new way. And that's what he's saying, that literally I want you to so work out your salvation, to so want to take off that which is hindering you, that your awe before God allows you to know the holy tremble. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, God, so why would we want to stay so superficial? Because we do. We do everything we can to keep us from ever knowing what it is to be in awe of God. Mm. We will turn prayer, as the message says, into a fast food meal.
Mm-hmm.
You treat prayer like a fast food meal is one of the ways he interprets the scripture on prayer, that we need to be willing to sit in his presence and draw on his word and allow him to do that in us. Okay, let's now go to verse 13.
What?
Would you read for us verse 13?
Okay. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure.
Okay, so God, who's at work in me to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. Okay, the first question, I did three in a row, so I'm just going to want you guys to talk for a minute. How is God at work in me? I want you to answer these questions. They're all kind of the same, just reworded. How do you know God is at work in you? And how can others know God is at work in you? So how is God at work in me? How do you know God is at work in you? And how can others know he's at work in you? How do you know it?
It's a deep question to have to answer. Yeah. Just like on the spot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like, they all have the deer in the headlights look. I wish you could see their faces.
What is she talking about?
How do you know he's at work? It's not being prideful, because remember, to be humble is to know your strength and to know your weakness. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to say how God's at work.
I guess for me, the times when I've felt like God's in at work in me, I remember just feeling more joyful than usual. So I guess that would be how I know. And then how other people know, I think it's just that, again, that long-lasting joy that Christ gives you that's apparent to others in the things you do, but also just in, like, the way that you are. Like, even not necessarily in action, just the way that you,
They recognize it, but they're not too sure what it is.
Yeah.
And they feel like one of those things that you always know, like, oh, yep, this is God, is when you, like, you know, you start reading the Bible kind of thing. Like, you've already made a plan, and then something happens in your life, and then that just happens to exactly go with what you're reading. Because, like, recently we were on, like, a family vacation with family, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start. It was like, what should I, like, be reading in the Bible now? So it's like, I'm just going to go through, you know, Jeremiah, just because I had I knew a lot about Lamentations because I studied that in school. So it's like, you know, it'd be good to get a lot of history on it. You know, something that you're not going to think it's going to be a lot of correlation between your life and stuff like that. And then the very next day, like, I was being questioned about what the Bible has to say about, like, divorce and all this stuff like that, and a whole bunch of things in that area. And then I was like, oh yeah, I should go look that up. But then like I sort of forgot about it and didn't look it up. And the next morning it was like, this is what God says about divorce. This is like that. And it's like, oh, okay. And then that, like, you know, prompted me on to go and do more research on that and all the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
I love how Absolutely. God does that. I giggled because you said we were on a family vacation with family. I love it when God does those divine appointments. The fact that yeah. we've been doing this series for 6 months and that this week, this lesson would be what I am studying is so ironic. God just has the best sense of humor, you know, and that's, for me, it's, you know, I could not have said, all right, I'm going to study Philippians for, I don't know how long it's going to take us. Maybe it's going to take us a year to get through. But every single time we've been at the radio, it has been very much right where I'm at, mm-hmm. what I need to be hearing. And that wasn't a part of my plan. I was studying it because I've always wanted to study the book of Philippians, you know. And so what I thought was my motive, I'm finding, is God's nudging.
Mm-hmm. He likes to test us in those little things, you know, and see how we're going to fare.
Yeah.
So.
The other way I can see that I know it's God is it's often opposite of what would seem to make sense to me. Mm. Like, I will often say, you know, I'm just not that clever. Like, a thought will come to me, and it's like, I need to do that. I don't really want to do that. But I'm really not that smart. And so that had to be God speaking to me so that I could go and do what he's asking. Mm. And if I follow through with it, I have found I've been so blessed mm-hmm. by the follow through. You know, does that
you
make
like
sense?
To use your weakness, or you thought that was a weakness.
Yeah. Adam, did you come up with an idea?
Yeah, I think we can know that he's working in us through him answering our prayers mm-hmm. a lot. Maybe not in the way that we thought he would answer, but he does find a way to show us that he is present constantly.
Mm, I love that. That's so good.
That gives you that peace sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that peace is something you can't explain to people. It's wonderful.
It's amazing. I love how when God shows me he's answering my prayers and being able to tell people, I prayed for this, and look, this mm-hmm. is the answer. And I ask God for that. And there have been times where it's like, wasn't the answer I wanted. Yeah. I shouldn't be grumbling and complaining because it wasn't the answer I wanted, but he did answer, and so I need to celebrate what his answer yeah. was. Well, we're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We wanted to say thank you to the donors that have been giving, and if you want to contact us, you can contact us through TaraRye.com. God bless.